Now, I have been really excited about preaching this sermon today. I really like the scriptures, so much so that I highlighted some verses that I thought would be particularly relevant for certain members of our church. Yeah. And so I just love this first scripture reading from Proverbs, that verse that says, "Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice." Oh, I know some people that could use that one. And then our scripture reading just now from Ephesians. "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths," yes, "but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Oh, I like that. These are wonderful scriptures, Ed. I think they would be great for you. You might want to take them home tonight, memorize them, all right? All right. Okay. Did I do the right thing with Ed? Is that the kind of preaching and leadership you expect from your pastor? Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I hope that's not how I do things. Our scripture today talks about giving grace to those who hear. And one of the ironic things is that sometimes if we tell people they need to talk with grace, we're no longer talking with grace ourselves. And so one of my favorite books on communication skills has a motto that might be appropriate for us as we reflect upon our scripture for this morning. The motto is this: work on me first, a second. Now, to be honest, it took me a minute to come to terms with that motto. Because what if Ed really is the problem? We all know Ed, right? I mean, and what if changing me never changes Ed? Still, the fact remains that when we focus on our core values and hone our own communication skills, we are much more likely to positively influence and impact others. We're much more likely to be in a mutually beneficial relationship. When it comes to communicating with others in a way that embodies the best of our values, it ultimately makes sense to begin with ourselves. Lent is a time for a more introspective look at our lives, so I believe it's fitting that next Sunday we are going to begin a 5-week Lenten luncheon program entitled Communication Rooted in Values. Every Sunday after worship, we're going to come together for lunch downstairs, not a cold and damp basement, and we're going to learn about how we can be better communicators. In the Lenten calendar in your bulletin, you will see the topics that we'll be covering each Sunday. If you look at the program on the final Sunday, you'll see what initially motivated this luncheon series. Earlier this year, our church council adopted a policy and procedures document entitled Fostering and Sustaining Community. Copies are available in the narthex on the welcome table. We'll look at it in depth at the end of our series. But for now, I'll just say this. The document begins by celebrating the gift of community that we have here in this church. As a community, we support each other through webs of love and care. As a community, we uplift each other through sharing friendship and fellowship. Moreover, as a community, we are not only able to minister more effectively to each other, we are able to more effectively minister to the broader world. It is through community that we are able to achieve far more than we can as individuals. It's through community that we receive a glimpse of the kingdom of God. With good reason, Martin Luther King Jr. referred to the kingdom of God as the beloved community. In our church, we believe that each of us is a minister. We're each ministers in the body of Christ. And I believe as ministers, we have a sacred obligation to care for this wonderful gift of community that we've each been given. Like a lot of important work, the sacred obligation to care for community isn't always easy, especially in a society where we have lots of things competing for our time and attention. The work of tending to community is also difficult because every community inevitably deals with conflict and disagreement. That can be a hard pill to swallow. Most of us would run a couple of miles out of our way in order to avoid going through that particular thicket. It's precisely because dealing with conflict and disagreement is so difficult and yet so important that our document on fostering and sustaining community gives guidelines for how to face these challenges. Often in our society, we respond to conflict or disagreement in one of two ways: silence or violence. Maybe we don't literally throw a punch, but maybe we have a mini outburst. The guidelines that will be presented, however, suggest that there is a third alternative, one of peaceful, constructive engagement that actually makes a community stronger rather than weaker. Now, for those of you who might be worshiping with us for the first time this morning, you might be thinking, wow, this church must have a lot of problems if the pastor is preaching on this and they have a document of guidelines for how to do the right thing. I can understand how it might sound like that, but let me suggest another way of thinking about this. Wow, this church must be really mature to realize that conflict and disagreement are inevitable in this world and that we want to deal with them in the best way possible. In fact, since churches are focused on values, this is a great place in our society to do things the right way. Was that persuasive? Let's pass out the membership cards right now, all right? Who wouldn't want to be a part of this awesome church? Let me give an example of how a church could be just like the rest of society, and then an example of how a church could be different than what goes on a lot of the time out there. A visitor from Mars would quickly realize that our society places a high value on winning. We're all familiar with winning in sports and the common stress on academic achievement, but let's focus on a more subtle variation of this cultural phenomenon, simply being right. Maybe I'm the only one who has ever been in a conversation that becomes a subtle match of who is right or wrong. But I suspect this is a common everyday phenomenon, whether we're talking about conversations between married couples or between coworkers. Now imagine what would happen if a church committee meeting operated with this same kind of dynamic. The analogy that I like is this. The goal of a particular committee meeting is to create a picture of an incredibly bright future for our church. As it turns out, this picture is actually like a puzzle with different pieces, even if people don't realize it at first. For the meeting, everyone shows up with a different piece of the puzzle, and all the pieces we need are in the room. One person has a piece that contains a vibrant image of children learning and playing. Another person has a piece that envisions an array of service opportunities operating out of our church. Another person has a piece with a marvelously landscaped garden just outside. But what happens if I believe that I've got all the right answers? In a church, I wouldn't be so pretentious as to say out loud that I know everything, but for all practical purposes, I essentially believe I'm the Messiah of First Congregational UCC. As such, I'm convinced that all we need is the piece that's right in my hand. And what if Ed believes that he's got the only piece that we need? And what if both of us care so deeply and so much about the church that we are each dying to share our piece with everyone else, so we thrust our piece out onto the table confident that we clearly have the answer to our problems right there in our hands? There's no sense in even considering that other people might have other pieces as well that might be present at the table. Yet what if this committee isn't like the rest of society? What if we come to the committee meeting with the shared values of mutuality, considerate and respectful dialogue, a commitment to the larger body of Christ? What if we also come to the committee with a shared set of skills? Even if we feel right about something, we propose our thoughts in a tentative way to show our openness to other ideas. We listen carefully to what others have to say because we don't want to accidentally miss another piece of the puzzle. We are then able to see the beauty of each piece as it's presented one by one, and soon we're able to even see the greater beauty when all the pieces start coming together to make a masterpiece. I like to think that we already do a good job when it comes to our values and skills, but I also know that as an individual, I've got room for improvement. I truly believe that better communication is a lifelong continuing education program. I also believe that new communication skills can be learned even if we have lived our whole lives a different way. I don't think the importance of improving communication can be oversold for a church. Our scripture reading for today points to the simple truth of how fundamental communication is for a community. Ephesians was written as a general letter for the churches of the time. Like today, conflicts and disagreements were an inevitable part of reality. Yet the author knew that a fundamental building block for these early churches was to be found in how members spoke to each other. Did they speak with grace and kindness? Did they speak with compassion and forgiveness? Did they speak in a manner that built people up rather than tore them down? I believe that one of the central keys to our church having a bright future is in our ability to communicate well with each other. This Lent, we have a wonderful opportunity to focus on our common values and how we can put those values into practice each and every day, whether we're in church or out of church. Few topics could be more relevant. In a society that has increasingly lost its capacity for civil and respectful dialogue, we have the opportunity to live in a way that affirms and uplifts the humanity of each one of us, regardless of whether we are an Ed Frank or a Pastor Brooks. Amen.